Hello, this is Stephen King.
But sometimes, dead is better.
Hi, Georgie.
I'm your number one fan.
Get busy living. Get busy dying.
Here's Johnny.
So welcome back to the Constant Reader podcast with me, Richard Shepherd. But before we get today's interview, I'd like to apologize for the wait from our last episode. I was moving house, and as you probably know, I've got a couple of thousand books to move with me. So it's finding the space for those and shelving and reshelving. It's been a big part of my life for the past couple of months, and I haven't had time to update the podcast. So mea maxima culpa. However, I can assure you that we've got a full roster of guests for the next few months, some very exciting big names, including the gentleman I'm going to be speaking to today, and also some other interesting guests who I hope you'd like. Speaking of guests, thank you very much to the response from the interview with Daphne Bewa last month, and her documentary, Stephen King on Screen, is available now for digital purchase and on Blu-ray from the 25th of September if you want something physical to hold in your hands. And it's very interesting. It's well worth a look. Speaking again of previous guests, I'd just like to send all my love and admiration to Justin Stanley and Tom Holland, who have both been very vocal and very strong in supporting the WGA strike. God bless you for doing that. Stay strong. Let's fight the machines. Let's fight the AI. And keep manning the pickets. I appreciate that. Our next guest next month will be Adam Z. Robinson, a writer and actor who's touring with Haunted, a live interactive ghost show, which will be coming through the UK in the winter. And we're going to be talking about the breathing method, which is one of my my favorite old school Stephen King stories, kind of very influenced by Peter Straub, but also kind of influenced by the classic ghost story. It's kind of like a Henry James thing. And it's one of my absolute favorites, and I'm glad we're going to be talking about it. However, to today's guest, so for almost 30 years, the man simply known as Leah, is that correct? Has been the... Oh, damn it. Lilia? Okay. Lilia has been the voice, I should say, on the internet when it comes to covering and reporting on Stephen King. His website, Lilia's Library, is the ultimate source for information about new King projects and, of course, breaking news. It consists of interviews, reviews, news, quizzes, all kinds of things, a beautiful archive, and it's proved indispensable to this podcast every month. His published work includes a selection of from the website in the world of Lilia's Library, the world of Stephen King, and recently Shining in the Dark, an anthology of stories to celebrate its 20th year with the website, which included stories by King, Peter Straub, and former guests of this podcast, Richard Chizmar and Stuart Onan. So it's a privilege and an honor for me to be speaking to not only somebody who's been following Stephen King's career so closely for the past almost 30 years, but somebody who is so knowledgeable and has the dedication and the wit and the charm, which is evident through his website, to really make it the number one site online. So welcome to the podcast, Lilia.
Thank you. And thank you for that great introduction.
Well, that's quite all right. I mean, you are number one. I mean, you have, in a way, the ultimate bragging rights over every other Stephen King, almost every other Stephen King fan, and that you've had the chance to interview Stephen King, not only once, but a few times. Can you tell us how that kind of came about and exactly how nervous were you?
Extremely nervous. I actually fought for the first interview for about 5 years. And I kept asking for an interview, and I kept getting the response that he wasn't doing interviews, and he had done enough interviews about whatever current book or movie was being released. But I took it as not as a no, but as a, well, ask again later. So I kept doing it for about 5 years until I finally got the okay to do an interview. And then it took about 6 months, I think, to find a time when it worked. And then finally, one evening, the phone rang. And it was Stephen King who called.
That's incredible. And I think what's interesting about the interviews he did with King, firstly, it seems very natural, the two of you talking together, which is not something I would anticipate if I ever talked to him myself. But you seem to have a very good rapport. And also, you spoke to him at a very kind of interesting point in his life and career. What was that?
Yeah, I think I was, as you guessed, I was very nervous when he called. But he's actually very easy to talk to and very friendly, and he doesn't put you on the spot or anything like that. So I can't say it was like talking to an old friend, but as a new friend. So we talked and talked, and I think and hope that he enjoyed doing an interview that was not just a question about the last book or what scared him, or this usual question that everyone asks when he released something. So I think he actually enjoyed doing an interview that dealt with other questions than the ones he always gets.
He must be in a very interesting position at the moment, because it's probably not essential on him to really promote his books. He doesn't really need to sell any more or to be any richer. So I always, in the interviews that he does do, there must be some kind of curiosity for him about how it works, or some kind of some element of play to it, some element of just seeing what's out there, which is a testament to you, I think.
Yeah, I think so. He does probably some stuff that his publisher really wants him to do, like the Good Morning Show and all these, to promote the new book. But if you have seen one, you've seen them all almost. It's almost the same question each time. So, but all the other thing he does, like he's been on a few podcasts lately, and so I think he do that because he enjoys those shows, and he liked those form of media, and yeah, he doesn't need to do much that he doesn't like. So,
and of course, he did say that he was specifically a fan of your website. How did that feel when he said that?
Yeah, it felt amazing. Of course, I mean, it's the ultimate proof that I'm doing something wrong. Something right.
Fair enough. I like I said, it did sound very natural, the two of you talking together. But were there kind of any questions you kind of wanted to ask but didn't feel it was the right time, or thought was maybe a little too overstepping the line of a fan or a personal question? Because, you know, as a Stephen King fan myself, I have a lot of stupid questions I like to ask Stephen King, mainly like, will you ever write a sequel to Salem's Lot or something like that? I kind of know the answer already.
Yeah.
Was there anything like that you wanted to ask but thought no? He doesn't want to hear this.
No, I think I actually got to ask most of the questions I have. And of course, as soon as the interview was over, I realized I had a lot of more questions that I hadn't thought about until after the interview. But it was good that I did another one about a year later. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I got most of it. I thought it was very interesting to hear his thoughts on how popular he is on the internet, that when you put his name in the search engine, you get like millions of hits, and his use of a pseudonym we talked about, and stuff like that. So I think I got most of the stuff I wanted to ask. And I mean, there's always new questions. So if I did an interview now with him, I'm sure I could fill like an hour with questions again. It's always happening things.
Is that going to be on the cards, do you think, another interview with Mr. King?
I don't know. If it were up to me, yes, I would love to do it. But on the other hand, he's so very restricted with who he does interviews with. So I would be kind of greedy that, I didn't get a third one. So, I mean, I would love to talk to him again and do an interview, but I'm sure there's others out there that can do a good job as well.
But I like I said, I genuinely got the impression that you two had a rapport. So it'd be nice to kind of see more of that. Now, moving away from Stephen King, but sticking on the subjects of interviews, you had the opportunity to interview another of my favorite writers, Peter Straub, as well, during the course of your website. What was that like? Because I understand he's a very different personality than King. Perhaps not so outgoing. He very rarely does interviews, I think. So how did you approach that?
Yeah, that one was actually done by email, so we didn't get chat on the phone or something like that. But it's very interesting, or was a very interesting person. Mm. I actually got a bonus and met him in 2017. When I was in New York to see Stephen and Owen promote mm-hmm. their book Sleeping Beauties, and I was invited backstage before the show, and when I was talking to Stephen, I saw someone I recognized sitting in the corner, and it was Peter Straub. So I got a chance to shake his hand and say hi to him, and so I didn't have a clue that he would be there. So it was fun to meet him as well.
What was he like? Was he happy to talk about his work?
Yeah, we didn't get to talk too much at that time. It was a quick visit, so it was mostly a handshake and a photo and how are you, that kind of talk. So we didn't get into deep to anything then.
I think what was interesting about your interview with Peter Straub is it was for the Talisman and Black House, and you can tell me, you can confirm or deny this probably better than anybody else. There's recently been a lot of rumors about the third Talisman book. How do you feel about that? Do you think that's going to be a viable project, or is that just a one for the rumor mill?
I think that if King would like to write it, I think he could pull it off. I understand that he mentioned in an interview he did on the podcast recently that Peter had sent him a long letter with ideas for the third book, and he has a lot of ideas, so I think he could put them together and actually write the book if he wants to. I don't know how he feel about doing it without Peter. But I remember Peter also saying before he passed that he didn't know that he could keep up with King. So I don't know if he really wanted to write the book or felt like it would be too hard for him on doing that. So I don't know. I think Steve could do it if he wanted to. And I kind of hope he will, both because I want to read a story, and it would also be nice to kill those rumors off once and for all.
That's very true. I like that.
Yeah.
Anybody who's looked at your website or read the books will know that it's an exhaustive study of probably every Stephen King content adaptation, short story, article, novel that has been written. And there's also a good deal of engagement with the people who come to the website. Out of all the reviews that you've written, which one to you proved to be the most controversial? Was there any book in particular that you either really loved or really hated and nobody else seemed to agree with you? Because I know you're a big fan of Lisu's story, which is quite a divisive one as well. So was there anything else in particular that you thought was memorable?
Yeah, well, I actually did a review of Frank Darabont's Volpolsky's Typewriter.
Oh, yes.
A small limited novel. And when I did that and posted on the site, I actually got an email from him when he said that, oh, I really love this review. I printed it and put it on the wall above my desk. So that was really nice to hear.
I think
that was a really good and interesting book, actually, by someone who isn't a writer in the first place.
No.
That was very memorable. Yeah.
Okay. Another thing I noticed kind of going through your book and going through your website is in many ways it serves as a history of modern publishing techniques, because Stephen King, as kind of the apex predator in the publishing world, he is the King Kong. And it's interesting to me that he's tried and variously adopted different forms of technology, from audiobooks to CD-ROM to online to Kindle. And it's really fascinating watching the development of that. Was there any kind of experience with those different technologies that you wish you'd kind of pursued more? Something like the plant, maybe?
Yeah, I wish it would finish the plant, as I'm sure a lot of fans would like. But I think the main thing I find interesting is that he actually do all these different things, and he's not afraid to put out like an ebook when ebooks wasn't even heard of, and trying different things and writing a musical and stuff like that. He gave the French and the Germans the first dips on the story when he were had been visiting there. He wrote Bad Little Kid and released it only in French and in Germany for I think half a year maybe or something like that. And I think that's pretty cool of him to try all these different ways, even though I tried to read the story even before it was in English. Even though I can't speak a word French or German, I tried to use Google Translate. So it was first frustrating, but I think it's a good thing that he tries and do all these different things and keeps it fresh. And what works and what doesn't. And I mean, he can afford to do this. And if something doesn't work, it's no biggie.
So even though it must make your job completely impossible sometimes, trying to actually take in all these different medias.
Yeah, but it's also interesting. I mean, it gives a variation that's fun to work with as well. So I hope he keeps up with it and find new ways to get the stories out there.
Okay, as long as he doesn't go on TikTok, I think I'll be happy. I think that's probably...
Yeah, we might draw a line there. Dancing out the story on TikTok might not be
nobody the best wants to way. See that.
No.
Going back to something you touched on earlier, do you read in Swedish or English? And how long does it take a Stephen King novel to be published before a Swedish version comes out, or is it fairly simultaneous?
When I started reading King back in 83, I read the books in Swedish. And when I had read all the books that had been translated, I started to read them in English. And at that time, it could take like 4 years before a book was translated. So, and I'm not a very patient man, so I read them in English. And today it's better. Actually, the books are released basically the same day or within a few days as the US release. So, but I still read them in English, often in preview copies. So it's mainly in English today. Yeah.
Was it odd kind of going back and rereading them in English after reading them in Swedish? Were there any like grace notes in the translation that perhaps didn't make it through or perhaps wasn't completely realized?
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly those kind of sayings he uses, and those can't really be translated word for word from English to, I imagine, any other language. So the translator has to find a different sentence that basically says the same thing, but maybe with different words. So I think mostly it's those kind of things, but we have a good translator in Sweden, so most books are very good translated nowadays. Then if you go back and read Swedish book from the early 80s, those feels pretty old in language when you read them today. So they could use maybe a new translation. Mostly today I read in English, and if I want to reread a book and read it fast, then I might read it in Swedish because that's my native language, so I read that faster. So
interesting.
But
yeah.
mainly in English. Yeah,
that's got to be a hell of a task. You're some Swedish literary translator and somebody puts a copy of It down on your desk and says translate this. That must be a Mount Everest of translating jobs or something like that. I can't even imagine how you'd begin.
Yeah, but so, it's good like in Sweden, we have had the same translator for many, many years now. So he has developed a Stephen King translation. So you get the same feeling from book to book. And if King mentions something that's been mentioned in an older book, he actually find that how it was translated in the earlier book and keep that. So it's kept together. So we're fortunate in that way.
And is Stephen King, is he quite a popular writer in Sweden? I mean, I have no reason to think he wouldn't be, but is the horror genre itself one that is kind of recognized, represented in bookshops?
Yeah, it is. I mean, Stephen King is a big name everywhere, I believe. but he is not always number one on the bestseller lists here. He's not as big as he is in the US, but everyone from my kids to my old grandmothers knows the name, so to speak. So he is well known here, but a lot of people read him in the 80s. Then they grew up and didn't feel they could read him anymore for some strange reason.
That's very odd. Yeah,
and now I hear people say, oh, I read him when I was young, but I haven't read him in like 20 years. I might need to start again. So I don't know why that is, but a lot of people are saying that.
Perhaps it's a perception of the genre itself as being somewhat immature, which is a very twisted and outdated view, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, horror often get that it's not the finer art, so to speak.
Which is a shame, because as I've said on this podcast before, I think Stephen King is one of those writers who is actually consistently getting better as well in terms of his writing, in terms of his mastery of the art. And coming to that, I mean, this interview is going to be released a few days before his new book Holly is released. I assume you've read it.
Yes.
And what do you make of kind of this late period Stephen King's kind of genre hopping and the repeating of this character, Holly Gibney? Are you a fan?
Actually, I like Holly. I know a lot of people don't. I like her. But I also feel that we have filled the Holly quote now for a while. So I wouldn't mind to get something else for the next 2-3 books. But I don't see that as a problem that he writes about it. But like anything, if you write about it too much, it will get too much. So, I mean, if we would only get Dark Tower books, even though we love those, we would probably think that, oh, can you write any detective novels or horror novels or something like that in between? So, yeah.
No, I've been very impressed with kind of the way he can change genres recently. The crime fiction stuff is still also produce really good horror. Like in the If It Bleeds stories, I think that's incredible. And Revival as well, which is a book I go on about constantly because it's one of my absolute favorites in terms of just true, ghastly, absolutely manipulative horror. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, so as a completist, what are the more obscure pieces of King's work or adaptations of King's work that you think should be more well known to people?
Oh, that's a hard one because most of the stuff are well known. But something that I've noticed, I've done lectures about King here in Sweden at libraries since 2017. And most of the times I've done that, I've come across a lot of people who actually don't have a clue that he writes stuff that isn't horror. And when I tell them he wrote The Green Mile, they think I lied to them. So I think that maybe be a more important thing to actually highlight, that King is not just horror. And I mean, I speak to people daily about Stephen King because most people who are in my circle of existence knows that I'm a big fan, so they come and talk to me about it, and a lot of people say that, oh, I don't like horror, but I try to tell them he's not just horror, there's a lot of other things, so I think that might be something that needs to be more examined, and that's why I've written the last book as well, So I think most of the books are pretty known. I'm sure there are people who haven't heard of Roadwork or Blaze or one of those books. But by mediocre fans, they have probably heard about most of the books, but might not know that they saw Green Mile yesterday, and that was actually based on on a Stephen King novel. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, going back to what you said, your new book, correct me on the title if I'm wrong, but it's Stephen King, Not Just Horror. Is that correct?
Yeah,
and that's correct. Being published when?
It's actually been published last Friday here in Sweden.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And it will be released in Italy and the US later this year, and in Czech and Germany next year.
Not for the UK. That's rather depressing.
Yeah, not so far, but I'm hoping to get to add more countries to the list.
As am I. Yeah, absolutely. I want to read that.
Yeah.
So we're running out of time. So just a few more questions, if you don't mind. Recently, it was revealed that the dreaded AI was being trained to write through the work of Stephen King. How do you feel about that? And how do you kind of feel about the idea that hopefully very far in the future, when Stephen King passes away, a machine could take over and still produce content? It's rather a chilling thought, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's kind of scary, actually. And I hope they don't perfect it so much that you can't distinguish a Stephen King book and a Stephen King AI book. But I don't know. I mean, a good book is a good book, but it would feel strange that it's written by a machine and not a human. Feel a little bit like the Terminator movie coming up. So I don't know. I think it's kind of scary and not so much that they will try to be Stephen King, but if you can learn a machine to write a book as good as Stephen King, then we humans are soon to be unuseful, because they can make machines that will read the books as well, and we don't even need to do that.
Exactly.
So.
And there'll be a machine running your website and a machine running my podcast, and we can all just sit back.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
So
hopefully they can never make a machine as good as man.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the two questions I always ask all my guests. Firstly, what are you reading at the moment?
At the moment, I'm actually between books, but the last book I read was actually Holly by Stephen King. Yeah.
And you'd recommend that? That's a good one?
It's a good one, yes. I liked it a lot. So I think I can't say too much because I'm not allowed
to.
But I think people will be surprised about it and actually enjoy it more than they might think.
Okay. And the other question I always ask is, what is a non-Stephen King book that you love, that you think perhaps not enough people have heard of, that you think maybe flew beneath people's radar, that you would recommend more people read?
I will actually recommend a book by the Swedish author John-Ivar the Lindquist, called Handling the Undead.
Good choice.
He's mostly known for Let the Right One In. And he's also written a bunch of books in Swedish that hasn't been translated yet into English. But Handling the Undead has been, and it's a great variation of a zombie book that I really think more people should read.
Yeah, I remember when when his work started to come out in the UK, it was the lazy secondhand press were just saying he's the Swedish Stephen King, and that was the way he was described. Yeah, any new horror author who comes out and we don't know him, he's the new Stephen King. So it's I'll still read it. You know, I'll still check it out. So before we go, can you just remind us where people can find your website and your books?
Yeah, the website is lilias-library.com. And the books, they can be bought at bookstores, preferably online. I don't know how much they are stocked in physical bookstores, but they should be able to find them on Amazon or any other online bookstores.
Good stuff. So thank you very much for talking to me today, and hopefully long may you reign over the Lilia's Library website. It really is a wonderful thing. Thank you very much for doing it.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Okay, so join us next month when I'm talking to Adam Robinson about his tour Haunted and the Breathing Method. And don't forget to like, rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast or wherever you find your podcast. And thank you very much. We love you all. We'll see you very soon. Goodbye. The Seven Dwarfs. Thank you very much for joining us on another edition of the Constant Reader Podcast with me, your host, Richard Shepherd. I'd like to give a special thanks to Dr. Linda Shepherd for research and Stephen Leslie Parks for technical production. You can write to us at theconstantreaderpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Instagram @theconstantreaderpodcast. And please feel free to rate, review, like, and subscribe to this podcast on wherever you can find podcasts. And we'll see you again next month for another deep dive into the work of Stephen King. Thank you very much. Down to the line. Shh.